I invite you to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew, continuing in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth passes away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to join your heart with mine for a moment of prayer. Oh, Holy God, we thank you so much that you've called us together this day to hear your holy word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that you would truly be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our Savior and our friend. Amen. We're in the middle of our season of Epiphany, and you may remember that Epiphany is the season of light. It's a season when things are revealed, when things are made manifest. It's the season that through our scriptures we've been getting glimpses of who that Christ child, the babe of Bethlehem, grew up to be. We get to see more and more each Sunday who Jesus is as the beloved Son of God. It's also a season when we get to see who we are as followers of Christ. So throughout these weeks, our scriptures have been giving us little hints about who we might be as those who dare to follow Christ. Our scriptures reading throughout Epiphany started first, of course, with the Magi following that great light of the star that led them to the King of Kings, the one who would be the light of the world, the light to the Gentiles. And then we saw him at the Jordan River being baptized by his cousin John. And there we get the first real sense of who Jesus is, when as he comes out of the water, we hear the voice of God say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We go from there to Jesus calling simple fisher folks to follow him, fishermen who would leave everything behind to follow this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And then last week we saw that through the area of Galilee, he's been teaching and preaching and healing, and great crowds are coming out to see who this Jesus of Nazareth truly is. And then on a hillside, we sat as Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, began with those Beatitudes that said who God really saw as blessed in Jesus's day. Most of the Beatitudes start with blessed are those who, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the peacemakers. But if you listened closely last week, the last of the Beatitudes used not the third person, but used the word you. You. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. You can imagine that Jesus is looking squarely in the eyes of each of those disciples that sit closest to him. Blessed are you. Blessed are you when you are persecuted and people speak falsely against you. Can you imagine those disciples wondering what in the world they had gotten themselves into? Maybe this following Jesus was not everything they had hoped it would be. It's fun to be a part of these great crowds and to witness the miracles and to hear the teaching. But now to think that you might be persecuted, that people would revile you. I wonder how many of those disciples wondered what it was that truly they had gotten themselves into. Jesus, probably aware of what they're thinking, quickly changes to give them an idea of who they are as followers of Christ, who they're called to be. And he says, "You are salt and you are light." Perhaps Jesus was worried that they would try to hide their gifts, hide their abilities, hide their message, and not be as effective in following him if they were worried about persecution, if they were worried about being falsely accused or being reviled. And so Jesus encourages them with these words, "You are salt and you are light." He doesn't say you should be salt. He doesn't say that one day you'll be light. He says you are right now. You are here and now. You are salt and you are light. Now, we lose some of the significance of what Jesus was saying because salt and light are very common elements for us. You can buy salt for almost 30 cents a box, and salt is, you know, available everywhere, which wasn't true in Jesus' day. Salt was a real commodity of value because, as I started to say to the children, there were a lot of ways that salt was used. It wasn't just used to flavor the stew that was cooking. It was truly used to preserve meat in a time where there was no other way to preserve. Salt was used for that. Salt was also a symbol of the covenant, the promise that the children of Israel had made with God, that covenant agreement. Salt was a symbol of that covenant. And salt, too, was used to in sacrifices, in Hebrew sacrifices. So salt had great value, value that we miss because we don't quite understand the culture of Jesus's day. In fact, our word for salary comes from the Latin word that was the allowance of for Roman soldiers to buy salt. Salary and salt were connected. It had great value. Jesus is saying to those would-be disciples and to us that you are a valuable commodity and a little bit of you will go a long way. You are called to do great things. You are called to preserve the traditions. You're called to keep the covenant. You're called to be a symbol of all that God has done. And you're called to brighten up the world you live in. Because that's one of the culinary qualities of salt. It doesn't just add a salty taste to what you're cooking. It brightens and enhances the flavor of what it touches, what it's stirred into. And so salty disciples are called to bring new life into a community, to bring a new flavor, and to not just preserve the old, but also to bring in something new and to really increase what it is that the community would do together, enhance that community. You are light. We all know the value of light. We all know the value of a little bit of light in a dark corner, that it can make all things clear. We also know that the scriptures over and over tell us that the word of God is a lamp for our path. It's a light for our journey. Those disciples were called to be light. In a place where without electricity and only with oil lamps, they were called to shine brightly and not to ever try to hide that light. They were to be light in a dark world. Jesus himself was the true light that had come into the world, and they were to shine just like he does. They were to shine with his glory. They were to be the light to the nation, the light to the Gentiles. The light of Christ was to shine through them. So even if they were worried about persecution and being reviled or falsely accused, Jesus affirms that here and now, they were salt and they were light. Salt and light. We are called to be the same today. We are called to be salt and we are called to be light. Paul, writing to the Corinthian house churches, always writes in the rhetoric of the Greek that he even as he speaks against it. It's sometimes hard to decipher what he's saying to those early churches. But truly, the Corinthian church had gone astray. They had forgotten about the wisdom of the cross. They had forgotten about the wisdom of the Spirit. And they were following after their own wisdoms, human wisdoms. They truly believed that the more knowledge that they could attain, the more truth that they would have. And by finding and claiming that knowledge, by having that truth, that then they would have faith. And Paul was saying it's not like that at all. It's not more knowledge doesn't make you more faithful. You're faithful because of the love of Christ. You're faithful because of the wisdom of God that gave Christ's very life for us on the cross. Folly to those Greek intellectuals, but the wisdom of God that Christ gave his life for us. Many were attracted to the rhetoric and the teaching of those Christians in Corinth. And as I've mentioned before, there were divisions and they were competing. And Paul was trying very hard to bring them back to a level place where they relied solely on the wisdom of God, that would be the root and the source and the foundation of who they were as followers of Christ. Paul reminds them that God's wisdom is revealed in weakness, in vulnerability, and the self-emptying love of God upon a cross. Paul attempts in this letter to bring them back to that good news, to bring them back as faithful disciples, to bring them back to being salt and light, so that they might shine for the glory of God and not for their own glory. Paul reminds them that they're called not to exist just for themselves, but to shine for Christ, not to glory in their own successes, but to reflect God's glory, not to limit their light by their arrogance, but to remember that they exist to be salt and to be light for God's glory. Today, here and now, if we are to be faithful followers, we can't depend solely upon our own wisdom either. We need to depend for the life-giving, we need to depend upon the life-giving wisdom of the cross, the grace that God offered each of us. We also can't hide our lights inside this building. And as salt, we can't just preserve our own agendas. Like ordinary salt and ordinary light, our goal should be to be beneficial, useful, life-giving elements in the world. And as we stay true to that calling, we truly would give God the glory. Our effectiveness as followers of Christ does not depend on our successes according to the world's standards. If we are striving only to have the most prominent, the most well-attended, and the busiest congregation, then we probably are working toward the wrong goals. The goals are to be salt and to be light, so that others see the glory of God. Christine Schuchnow, in the book Feasting on the Gospel, says this: "The point is not to give glory to ourselves, but to give glory to God. Doing that requires nothing more than the humility of being who we really are, salt and light. If we fail to be true to God's purpose for us, then what good are we to the world? If we bear the name of Christ but have lost our true essence as salt, then people stop seeing us as useful for anything, and Christ's good name is squandered. If we say we are followers of Jesus but have hidden Christ's light under buildings, bureaucracy, and budgets, then we have robbed the world of God's good gift. Salt and light may not be the most glamorous elements in the universe, but they are worth more than silver or gold. They are life-giving and useful for the well-being of the world, and that would be a worthy goal indeed." This day and age, it's very hard to be salt and to be light. There is so much darkness in the world, but that's what we're called to be. We're called to be a light to the world so that they might see Christ, that they might hear again God's wisdom. And we're called to be salt in this community of faith and in this community around us so that truly we would bring new life into all that we touch. So this Epiphany, we have an opportunity to get a glimpse again of what God would want us to be. Jesus tells us very simply, "You are salt and you are light." May it be so. Amen.